Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
This is our 20th podcast on liberalism. But this week I wanted to start the week's program a little differently by sharing some of the exciting things God has been doing personally in my life in ministry as I deal with deception in the last days. God is so good, and when he does the kind of things he's been doing for me the last couple of weeks, I just have to share it, and I think this is the best venue, the best format for me to share it in, as God has just really blessed me lately. My wife and I, we stopped by the post office the other day, and they were closed for lunch. It was just a small station with a one-man place there, and I told her, I said, well, we can stop at another one later, while we're doing our errands and whatnot. And so along the way, we finished up what we were doing. I stopped in another post office, and then I went next door to a Dollar Tree, give some free advertisement there. But I went in there, and I took about three steps before the cashier there said, "Are you Randy Shelton?" And I went, "No." And then I laughed, and I said, "Yes." And I really did not recognize the woman, and it was one of those Twilight Zone kind of experiences. And she goes, "Oh, I've been trying to get a hold of you." She said, "I'm Tony's father." I won't go into everybody's first and last names, but it was a man I hadn't seen for many years. I'd gone to church with many years ago. And she said, "I've been trying to get a hold of you, and I'm not on Facebook, but I tried to send you a message on Facebook." So she's even less computer literate than I am in some ways, but she had really been trying to get a hold of me. She said, "This is like a divine appointment," only she didn't use that term, but she said, "This is like a God thing," or whatever. And I just didn't know what to make of it, except that it appeared that God was up to something exciting. So I said, she said, she was really busy at that time. So I said, "Well, just hold it right there. I'll be right back." I went out and grabbed my wife, and I said, "Honey, I don't know what's going on, but you got to hear this." I assumed, because she was looking for me, that she probably wanted some information or had something to do with my ministry in cults and the occult, discernment, what have you. But she had identified herself as a daughter of this gentleman that I'd known many years ago. But I didn't remember having ever met her, and if I had, it would have probably been as a child. So anyway, she started telling me that, she was going to be off at 4:30, and so my wife and I went through the line because we saw she was real busy and we couldn't really wait till 4:30, and so we exchanged phone numbers, and she gave me a call later. Well, if that first post office would have been open, then I wouldn't have needed to go to the second post office and ran into her. And I just love it when God does things like that, makes those divine appointments. So anyway, she had been looking for me. She was looking for somebody she felt like she could trust. She didn't, her and her boyfriend, they said they really didn't trust anybody. She said, "Do you know anything about the New World Order or the Illuminati and all this?" And I said, I'm really not that much in conspiracy theory type stuff, but I know a little bit about Bible prophecy. And she was said, "I don't know who to trust. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know if I should, what church to go to. I don't know what to do." And she shared that her daughter had some real problems. She had lost a son to suicide about 7 years ago, and her daughter was having some kind of visitations in her room. And she said, "My daughter's really, got her head screwed on well, as far as I knew." In other words, she didn't know that she was into any weird occultic practice or anything else, but she was obviously concerned for her, having lost her first son, and I don't know all the details of that. But later she told me, she said, "I don't even know how I recognized you." And I said, "Well, you were looking for me on Facebook." And she said, "Yeah." And I don't know how long ago she was looking. And of course, my hair was quite a bit longer than my Facebook picture. So it was just a very interesting thing. And both of us just felt like, wow, God's really in this, just to, for her to recognize me that way. And so we talked for a while, and I was able to share with her for a couple of hours, and we talked about a lot of scripture and just basically tried to bring her back to the Word of God, and encouraged her that, God's promises were true and she needed not to be fretting and worrying and anxious. And I said, I believe we're in the last days, but God reveals through these things in prophecy to comfort us, not to worry us, not to freak us out. So anyway, we had talked for a while, and she said, well, she said, I talked to you before. You helped keep me from going into the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, and she said, do you remember? And I was embarrassed to have to say, you know, I'm starting to get a little bit older. And, well, the bottom line was we had talked on the phone, and she had told me that this other lady who had said, you need to talk to Randy. And, of course, I don't even know how long ago it was. I know it wasn't in the last years that I've been back in my hometown. So it could have been, you know, quite a while back when I was in my last city in Tulsa. But the bottom line is we had talked, and God in His grace and mercy had kept this lady out of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And something that I had said along the way and in counseling with her had helped from making a bad decision. And that's why this other lady, Jane, had said, you need to talk to Randy. She felt like it could be helpful. So this is why she was looking for me at this point in her life, because she wanted somebody she could trust. And God had used me in a way to help her so that she felt like she could trust my counsel, even though it's been who knows how long since I talked to her. But anyway, it was just so exciting. And it was just blew me away. And I was just on the mountaintop for quite a while. And she said, I would really like for you to do a Bible study with me and my boyfriend. You know, he goes to a Baptist church. But she was even afraid to go to his church. She just didn't know what to do. She had some drug issues from her past. And I will give first names. Her name is Jennifer. She needs prayer for fear of relapsing into the drug scene. And for her sister, Megan, who had this visitation. I've not yet had a chance to talk with her because I'm still waiting for her to make contact again with me. We've talked a couple of times on the phone, but anyway, you could pray for Jennifer and her daughter Megan, and that she'll get established in a good church home, and that we can see what will, you know, what we can do for her daughter, and you know, they need the Lord, they need the strength of God, they need God's Holy Spirit in their life, they need to establish their lives on the foundation of God's Word and walking with Jesus, Lord, just help them, but. You know, anyway, for moving on to the next event that's taken place recently, speaking of Jehovah's Witnesses, it seems like my giant Alaskan Malamute is somewhat of a cultist magnet, or at least a Jehovah's Witness magnet, because I was walking her the other day in the park, and a lady stopped. It was in the early in the morning. She stopped. There wasn't a lot of traffic in the park. She actually jumped out of her car and came over and started talking to me about the dog. She said, oh, is that a Malamute and all this? And we talked, and everything was really nice. And then she said, oh, by the way, I just wanted to invite you to this event. Of course, she didn't say it was a Jehovah's Witness event, but I knew immediately it was when she handed me the brochure. And she said, you know, we're meeting, and she told me they were meeting on that weekend. And I said, of course, I didn't have time, really. Neither of us had much time. She was in a hurry. I was in a hurry. So all I could say in the nicest way possible, you know, was that that Jehovah's Witnesses, anyway, I'd like for you to pray for this anonymous Jehovah's Witness lady, because I didn't have much time to talk with her, but I know it was another divine appointment. And so she was drawn out of her car to meet my dog and invited me to this convention. And so we didn't have long to talk. So I just told her that I really couldn't make it to the convention, but that she was following the wrong Jesus. And of course she said, well, you know, I'm follow the Jesus that's the Son of God and the only Son of God and all that. And I just quickly told her, I said, well, you need to look in 2 Corinthians. I couldn't remember the exact verse at the time, but it was 2 Corinthians 11:4. And, you know, by the way, this is the second time this has happened with our dog. My wife was with me on another occasion where a couple at a local restaurant a few years ago, my wife was picking some food up and I was waiting for her in the car, and a couple came out and started talking to us. They loved the dog, and they invited us to a Jehovah's Witness convention that's held annually in my hometown here. So they invited us as well, and we of course had to tell them the brutal truth, the inconvenient truth that they were following a wrong gospel, wrong Jesus, wrong spirit. And that's what 2 Corinthians 11:4 tells us, that there are those who are following the wrong guy and the wrong gospel. So just pray for her and also the couple. I've of course wasn't able to keep track with them, so I don't know where they're at in life, but I just wanted to share some of these things. Now the next thing that happened to me was on my job, I travel somewhat, and we transfer vans around the country for our company. And normally I never stop in Louisville, but because it's close to where our hometown is and our base of operations, so to speak. So we had the occasion, though, to stop in Louisville, where my partner, Don Metcalf, is involved in ministry with me in our excuse me, Biblical Discernment and Research Center. Is really located there. And I called him and said, hey, I'm going to be in Louisville. Maybe we can get together and hang out. And we have never stayed over in Louisville. I've stayed in a lot of cities overnight, but never Louisville. I said, this seems to really be kind of a divine appointment. And he was able to get together with me. And we would have gotten a hotel in Pikeville, Kentucky, but one of our vans was inoperable. And so we didn't have a reason to go to Pikeville. So otherwise, you know, we stayed in Louisville. Because, you know, we didn't need to go to Pikeville. So it was the first time, by the way, I've ever stayed in Louisville because it's close to home. So Don was there, and, you know, when I called, he came out to the hotel. He said, do you want me to bring some of the supplies for our ministry? He brought a box of supplies that I can use, workbooks and fact sheets and all kinds of stuff. So we had good fellowship, good conversation. The van would have been packed with stuff from our office that we closed on my job, not my ministry office, but on my job. And we closed it out in Nashville, but my boss changed his mind, and so I had room in the van for the supplies for the ministry, and it was no problem, you know, for the company didn't mind me doing that. So I just thought that was so cool. And it turned out, actually, that one of the workbooks, actually, that Don had written on ghost hunting and paranormal activity, you know, it hit me later. I said, hey, this would be the perfect thing for me to give to Jennifer's daughter, Megan, or to Jennifer herself to study first, because it's got good information about the occult and spiritism and what have you from a Christian perspective. So I just said, wow, you know, God is really working, and it's just so exciting to serve a living God. Now, the next thing that happened to me was I was on Facebook, and I had noticed in my hometown, there was a local man who has a radio program, a couple of 15-minute programs, and with an emphasis on Bible prophecy, the soon return of Christ, and that type of topic. And I've seen it many times advertised in the paper, and I said, I know that name, and if it's the same guy, it's a guy that I knew that used to run around, you know, hung around a drive-through restaurant years ago, got into a little trouble now and then, like myself, and we didn't hang out at the same place. I hung out somewhere else. But I remembered him, and I thought, could that be the same guy? I thought, you know, it's a small town. I bet it is, because he was a Christian. I remember when he got saved was about the same time I did years ago. And I thought, well, you know, it would be nice to meet him sometime or just compare notes, what he's doing and what I'm doing in ministry. And so didn't think much more about it. But I was on Facebook one day, and I noticed that a mutual friend of his had, you know, typed his name, or there was a reference to his name. So I clicked on it, and I went to his Facebook page, and I looked at him, and I said, you know what, I haven't seen this guy for, like, you know what, 45 years, but that's him. Slightly older version, but that's the guy. And I thought, well, that's cool, you know. And I could see from his Facebook information that he was the guy indeed that had the radio program. And so I didn't think anything more about it. I just thought, well, God bless him for what he's doing, and you know, it's nice to see that he continues to walk with God and serves God, and went about my business. And shortly thereafter, I was at my own church, and excuse me, and I had left the Sunday school class to go to the restroom before my church service that I attend started. And I went in, and boom, there's the guy, Tommy. You know, again, he don't give you the full name, but his name's Tommy. And I said, wow, there's the guy I hadn't seen for over 40 years, that I just saw his picture to identify, you know, that's the same guy. And when he turned around, I said, excuse me, are you Tommy, you know, so-and-so? And he said, yes. And, of course, he drew up the same kind of blank expression that I guess I must have had when Jennifer said, are you Randy Shelton? At least he answered and said, yes, I am, you know, and didn't kid around like I did. But I said, well, I remember you from many years ago. I remember when you came to the Lord. And I just really appreciate what you're doing. I found out you're doing this program and all, and I think that's great. And I said, so are you visiting here? And he said, well, no. He said, sometimes I speak at different churches and such. And I said, oh, well, are you going to be speaking here? And he said, well, no, not really. So we didn't have long really to talk, But I thought, wow, the guy is visiting my church, and I've been going there for several years now, and I've never seen him. He's not a member. He's just visiting. He just happens to be here when I'm here after I found out who he is. And, you know, isn't God good? Isn't God exciting? So, you know, I don't know what if anything else will come of that other than just seeing the brother and knowing that I can pray for his ministry and knowing that he's interested in the same type of things that I am. But, you know, I thought, who knows, maybe God's preparing me for future collaboration with this brother. Maybe we might do something together in the future, or maybe, you know, whatever. Maybe I might be on his radio program, or, you know, maybe he could come and be on my podcast, or who knows. Or maybe nothing will come of it. But it was still exciting to me to see how God works. And over decades of seeing this man still walking with God and serving God and being on the front line. Now, one other thing that happened in the last couple of weeks that was just kind of dropped out of the blue into my lap, and that was I was contacted about doing a live stream interview on the UFO phenomenon, which I hadn't taught any on UFOs for quite some time. I plan on doing a series, an extended series, on my podcast in the future here, but I hadn't really done anything on that topic, even though it's one of my specialties. And the gentleman asked if I had gotten his email. He has my email because of past ministry opportunities that I've had with an association, the EMNR, that he's associated with and such. And his wife's a Facebook friend. And well, actually, so is he. That's how he contacted me, because I didn't get his email. So it was a short notice kind of a situation. And he said, would you like to be on the program? It's next Tuesday. And this was like maybe on a Friday or a Saturday. And I said, well, yeah, that sounds like a good thing. And so, but it was short notice. And so I dug out some files and got some stuff together to try to, because I didn't know what direction the interview was going to go. I didn't know what, you know, topics might be. I didn't know exactly where it was going to go. And so it was a little bit hard in a way to prepare when you don't know exactly what's going to happen and being spontaneous. And it was he and another gentleman were the hosts, so that made it even more spontaneous, because now we had a three-way conversation through the live streaming video program. So anyway, I decided to go for it, and it was, you know, it was good to get that topic out there, because I think it's a serious topic, and it's a specialty of mine, and I think it has I think it will have a big part to play in end-time prophecy. I guess I was a little disappointed the direction that the program took, because, of course, you have limited time and you have three different people, and it was just kind of a free-flowing discussion. And I think some of their questions and issues probably were more dealing in one aspect of the UFO phenomenon, of the psychological mind control, and comparing it with satanic ritual, you know, that is the abduction phenomenon, etc. So I was a little disappointed in the sense that there's so much more to talk about, and of course I would have had more time. I would have liked to have discussed some of the other things, but it's okay. It worked out, because on the Facebook thread, when I made the announcement of the program coming up and made it available to people and let them know about it, I got some good responses on the thread from people with questions, and I was able to recommend other talks and another interview that I had done, which I will get to in a minute and make those available to you, to those of you who might be interested. As I say, I'm going to be doing a series in the future. But anyway, like I say, I would have liked to discuss more of the possible prophetic implications and the reality in some cases of demonic effect on people through what are known as close encounters of the fourth and the fifth kinds, which, of course, are the abductees. Abductees are the fourth kind, and contactees are the fifth kind. But I was able to recommend what I think are some of the best Christian books that have been written in the past, books by John Weldon and John Ankerberg, Bill Alnor, Ron Rhodes. Of course, Dave Hunt has written a lot about UFOs. He never did a specific book itself only on that topic. And I don't know if I got a chance to mention him. But anyway, like I say, I think that there are anyway, these books from these other gentlemen, they take into account the paranormal aspect of much of the activity that goes on in abductees and contactee experience, and take it very seriously that there's a clear connection to spiritism and the demonic in many of these cases. There's other explanations, and I'll go into more detail when I do that series down the road, or you can listen to my programs, which I will make available to you that are on the internet. Now, I think that there are very possible prophetic implications, as I said, in that there are many counterfeit prophetic terms and themes that are counterfeited from Bible terms, like the rapture, the Great Tribulation, the millennium, the second coming of Christ, you know, because I distinguish between the rapture and the second coming as part of one event that's spread out over time, so to speak, but two separate things taking place, the rapture and the second coming. And for instance, the second coming, the idea of the Christ realization. Well, you know what? I will just read to you actually some of these definitions, give you some examples, get you a feel for it with the time I have remaining. But but you find many of these counterfeits of these prophetic terms and themes, like some of the ones I just mentioned, that are found in New Age occult or new spirituality books, UFO books, which are often written by hardcore New Age type people, people who gravitate towards a New Age or a new spirituality concept of spirituality other than the Bible, and these books that are written by actually non-Christians. Now, some of these examples, the rapture, for instance, you know, is often explained by some of these folks, you know, explained in such a way as it's almost like a massive UFO abduction. And that will help not only explain the rapture of where these people went, you know, they've all been snatched out of this earth on UFOs. And the idea perhaps is that these abductions took place to clear all these negative Christians who had this wrong view of spirituality and get them out of the way so that this coming New Age can come and we can have this wonderful peace and prosperity and harmony and New Age spirituality on earth, and it'll just be heaven on earth when these old Christian dinosaurs are gone, you know. Or maybe that the Christians will be taken away to be re-educated for the New Age and get their minds right about things. Now, the millennium, of course, you know, Satan has counterfeited that through many of these groups by referring to the millennium as the New Age. He talks about the second coming. Many of the New Age UFO type concepts of the second coming of Christ is when a person attains Christ consciousness. You know, Christ has come into their consciousness, or they have evolved to the point that that Jesus Christ evolved to while he was here, and they can experience that same thing as in their spiritual evolution as they gain supernatural power and what have you. Or they've experienced Christian Christ consciousness through some transformative experience, some New Age experience where they have an altered state of consciousness where demons have really toyed with their mind and played, you know, a video in their brain, basically, through their experience to convince them of some of these counterfeit lies from the devil. Now, some other examples. The Great Tribulation, for instance, we know of from the Bible. This is a period of 7 years of God's judgment on the earth. But there are explanations here that I have, and are terms really that have been used. For instance, those who believe, some people in the Catholic Church that believe in apparitions of Mary, which is a very strange thing. Obviously, these demonic impersonations of Mary that people have come to believe, or visitations, or what have you. This demon speaks of this great chastisement that's coming to the earth. And then you have the great purification of Mother Earth by the Hopi Indians. Of course, the Hopi shamans who are involved in spiritism are bringing another definition to, and another term for the Great Tribulation, which is, of course, inaccurate. It's not according to Scripture. Or the Great Change by the Space Brothers, who are cited often in many New Age books. One book, the Aquarian Revelations, talks about what is referred to as the Great Change. The Great Change, however, they say, is inevitable. Your world is contaminated to the very core. Earth must be cleansed. There can be no transition into a new age or a new dimension without this cleansing. But remember, the change is for the good. It is God's way. They say, remember that this coming change is a good one. It is not to be feared. Indeed, it is to be welcomed. Well, I can guarantee you, folks, I would not be welcoming the great tribulation that's coming to this planet and God's wrath that will be taking place. But Satan, of course, wants to ease people's minds and bring them into a deceptive place. Now, to where they are following false ideas. Now, the Great Tribulation will not be fun. I'll leave it that way. This great change, there's a New Ager who was named George Leonard, and he had similar ideas and views. Another term is the Great Evacuation. And this was put forth in a book or an article by Sean Castile, The Mass Landing Myth and the Arrival of the Armies of God, Part 2. And it says here, the exact time of the Great Evacuation is not known, of course, but is contingent on events on Earth. For example, one message given in Project World Evacuation, and then it goes on to talk about, you know, some of these channeling messages that have come through. Goes on to say, I'll leave it at that in the interest of time. But some of the comments that I made was, were along this line, that John Weldon, who I referred to earlier, he used to say that mankind is not looking for a theological Messiah, but rather a technological Messiah, because we live in this technological age. And needless to say, this is a demonic counterfeit of the upcoming biblical event known as the rapture, facilitated through a contactee who is being used by a seducing spirit to lead people astray. There's a lot of that going around these days, you know. And now I want to move quickly as I'm running out of time. An article that was called, that's Alien Abductions, Freaky or Fiction. It's in Answers in Genesis on their website by Dr. Danny Faulkner. And he talks about the spiritual connection of alien abduction claims. It says, researchers have categorized some common elements to most claims of alien abductions. They've categorized these common elements. We need not discuss most of these here, but there are some important common themes. Many people report meeting a godlike creature or creatures during their abductions. Often these beings communicate universal sounding messages or warn of impending nuclear or ecological disaster if mankind does not change his way. This amounts to a very hip, human-centered religious message. Another common element is that most people who have claimed these close encounters with aliens profess spirituality with a belief in God as such. There is a wide distribution of denominations and sects representing among those who have claimed alien abduction. People reporting alien abductions also report indulging in the occult and New Age practices. Of course, I've kind of made that point already, but the point is there are many people who take this whole phenomenon real seriously when it comes to demonic activity, and I think they're correct in so doing. Now, again, I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to even take the time to refer you in this program. Next week, I will begin the program referring you to a couple of talks that I've done at a discernment conference. One was strictly on UFOs and another one on spiritism, and then another one called Topic UFO, the Christian Point of View, where I was interviewed on another video-type interview. So I'll leave it at that because I'm just about out of time. And then we will look into some other current events taking place in the world in our next meeting. So God bless you all. Keep your heads up. Jesus is coming soon. Keep looking. God bless. Bye.